Yes, a very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev, Murray from the Curry, live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country, BBM 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your saver calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across the daily country of ours. Welcome back to National Talk Black. Yarn up strong, you mob. To Daily, we're going to catch up a yarn with Daily brother in the name of Billy Munro, and talk about his brother, how his brother donated organs and changed the family's life and the impact it still has on them today. On the line, Billy, good morning, brother. How are you?
Good morning.
Got you, my brother. My brother, how are you? Sorry about the muck up there. Before we start, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from, Billy.
My name's Billy Munro. I'm a Garang Garang man from Gingin, just north of Bundaberg.
Oh, beautiful, brother. And talking about your brother, he donated his organs, which changed your family's life as well as recipients. Look, tell us about that and how long since your brother passed.
My brother passed in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the fittest out of a lot of us. He was 51 and he was the youngest. And he just left the army after 12 years, actually.
Okay.
And he used to run and jog and everything, and he had a brain aneurysm. Mm. And that was it. They could do nothing for him. But he had spoken to us about organ donation.
Yes.
And when he passed, the people at the hospital, the organ donation people, came and saw us, and... you grant your anyone your last, his last wish, and that's
and that was his last wish. So you went ahead with his last wishes.
He donated his organs to three recipients.
Okay.
And it was just heartfelt for us. You know he's going, he's passed.
Yes.
But you realise that, man, you know, part of my brother is still walking around here.
Yeah,
on this
beautiful.
Earth.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
Maybe in someone else's body, but because of him,
life is still continuing.
They've got a lung, kidney, and liver, which has saved their lives.
Mm.
And so, you know, to us, it's just been the most fantastic thing that once we realised what had happened, you know, how it was done and what had happened, it just changed our lives forever. You know,
and
the beauty of it is now, what this. 7-8 years later, I still write 3 or 4 times to the recipient, and 2 of them return my mail. We write to each other about 4 times a year.
Beautiful.
And, it's just fantastic. They tell us how they are, what they're doing, and how they wouldn't be alive. You know, they stipulate every time they wouldn't be alive without my brother's organs.
Billy, can you hear me there?
So sick and whatever. It's just so good, you know.
Yeah.
And for us, it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing that we take in. We go to all the organ donate meetings, and I give talks pretty regular at them, and so does my sister.
Yep.
And so we're just overwhelmed by what he has done, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Billy, can you hear me there? No, Billy can't hear me. I'm going to try to continue to talk him there, Billy, but we'll try him.
And to keep going, it is a thing where I believe that is one of the most wonderful things in the world, you know. And so I actually wrote a poem about it. I write a bit of verse, and I actually wrote a poem about it that my younger... that they use when they have their meetings. And if you don't mind, I'd love to read it.
Yep.
Because we, this is because we can't, we are not allowed to meet the people, the recipient. So this is how I started. I received a letter and card today from a person I know nothing about, but our lives will be intertwined forever. Of this I have no doubt. The frailties of life and death brought us together, you see. A transplant for him, her. A death in the family for me. Him, her said they were doing well. Something our family hoped for and desired. for through him and her on this earth walks, part of a brother we all admired. Though we will never meet or talk, our friendship, strange as it will have to be, him and her will always remain as close a friend to me. Him and her was one of the lucky ones, and because of my brother's plan, a plan to have his organs donated and help his fellow man. Hopefully a long life is ahead for him, her. Of course, you never know when illness will strike. So people, please, think of organ donation, the ultimate gift of life.
Beautiful, Billy.
All right?
Beautiful. Billy, you probably can't hear me,
that's
my brother.
It,
yeah, you can't hear me, Billy. Sorry. I can hear you. That's Billy Munro. Just to let you know, Billy, yes, we heard you loud and clear. A beautiful poem. I wanted to get your brother's name, and sorry, we got cut off there. I mean, we can hear you, but you couldn't hear me. But look, thoughts going out to your family and thinking of the recipients as well, and they're thinking of your family. Don't worry about that. They're living a beautiful life, and thanks to your brother's donation in regard to his organs. But thank you very much, Billy Munro. And so there's a fantastic message there for people to donate to life, worth thinking about. But look, fantastic story, and great to be sharing that with us. Thank you very much, Billy Munro. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Bit him alive. Bit him alive.
Para broyara,
tengo mulgana, naraya.
fancy car. I don't have much to offer, just me and my old guitar. There's no big house, no nest egg. All our things are second hand. But she tells me she loves me for doing the best I can. We don't eat out, we eat in. We wash up and watch TV. I don't spoil her too often. She says that's all right by me. If I could buy her diamonds and roses, would I feel more of a man? When she tells me she loves me for doing the best I can. Still drive my rusty ute. I don't spoil her too often. Don't know why she thinks that's cute. There's no big house, no nest egg, and it's hard to understand when she tells me doing the best I can. For doing the best I can.
Yeah, we can all do that, doing the best that you can. That's what it's all about. And if it doesn't succeed at first try, try again. That's what it's all about. Todd Williams here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say and yarn up strong. Give the Murray a call. The Murray is the bully one, Trevor Tim, 20 Trev, your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. Come to you live here on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country BBM 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. The daily number, 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, you can text a brother, 045-714-0550, and our Facebook page, well, BBM 987 FM. All right, next segment we've got is Which Way Yarning, proudly sponsored by Pekoni IGA here in Cairns, Edmonton and Brinsmead. And they give us a box of fruit here once a week, and we promote healthy living, healthy lifestyle to our deadly staff in our school-based traineeship. So thank you very much, Pekoni. And we're going to catch up and have a yarn there with Senior Sergeant Glenn Delay, Edmonton Police, and he brought bodyguard with him, and that's Jess Mutton Harvey, first year constable. And a very good morning to you both. How are you all?
Good morning, Trevor. How you going?
Yeah, good. Jess, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. Welcome to the yarn here, Jess. And Jess Mutton Harvey, where do you stem from, sister?
Originally Bundaberg, grew up there, fled to Brisbane once I graduated for uni, and then moved to Townsville for academy, and then up to Cairns.
Okay, so the focus was always to be a police officer?
Yeah, pretty much. From a young little girl, I loved the idea of being a police officer growing up. And then I did criminology and psychology at uni, so that only exacerbated my desire to be a police officer. And well, here I am. You.
Yes, living the dream. Most little girls are sitting at home there playing with dollies. You're arresting people.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. My brothers.
Yeah, did bank some robbers, cops and robbers. You were the cop.
Yeah.
Tia Daly, well, welcome to the team, and we'll have you in the conversation, of course. Senior Sergeant Glenn Delay, how are you travelling, my friend?
I'm well, mate. Well, very well.
Good to see you.
Yeah.
You well? Yes. So we're talking about, Targa Australia, which runs the world's largest, longest, hardest tarmac rally, happening Targa Tasmania, but also happening here in Cairns, Targa Great Barrier Reef here in Cairns, all the hot rods and what have you. So we're talking about using that example for an event that's happening, but we're talking about how the police operates in regarding the planning and behind the scenes of an event happening in a city or town.
Yes.
Yep. Okay. So fill us in, please, brother.
1st of September. Some people think that winter is over.
Mm-hmm.
Other people looking forward to the horse racing season.
Yeah, that's right.
But amateurs for me, hot rod fanatic.
Oh, right.
Car man.
You're fired up.
I love it.
So you always put yourself on roster.
No, I don't, because my kids would murder me. I always go and watch the race.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. You would, yes. Steve.
You know, your little ones are also following their father's steps, so they love the car racing too. So it's a pretty big event that we've got in the far north here. And that's been, I think our first one was 2018.
Yep.
All sporting events, there's a lot of planning that has to go on behind the scenes.
Sure.
So when we sort of were spectators at an event, and this could be your footy, any sporting event or any community event.
Parade or whatever.
Yep, if it's going to disrupt the community, there's a whole heap of police planning that goes on in the backgrounds. And so that's what we're here to chat about today, how that comes about.
That would also start with opening conversations between the council of the city and the police force, yes?
Yep, so there's a whole heap of stakeholders there. Okay. Council will definitely be one for this Targa rally. Mm. Main roads, for sure.
Yes.
And obviously the Targa committee as well. So the beginning of the planning stage for this race here started way back before our first race, probably a year before. Our tacticians at the Cairns District Office.
Mm-hmm.
So they've travelled down to Tasmania, worst job in the world, to watch the race and how the Tasmanian
hard
police
life.
Plan.
Hard
terrible.
Life. You
terrible.
Know?
Yeah, yeah.
Crying out loud.
So that's where the planning really began. So when they've returned to Cairns, they've got sort of forward plan for that year ahead.
Yeah.
So, you know, first thing they're doing is working out what sort of staffing they're going to need for the event.
Mm-hmm.
And those requests need to go out to officers in charge of stations so we know that we're going to be providing staff, for this next so many days or week or so. We can plan around that. So that's first thing that's very important because we don't want to disrupt our police on the roads attending to calls for service.
Sure.
So we've got to make sure we've got adequate resources there. Then there's equipment, communication devices, vehicles, personal protective equipment, water. There's a whole heap of considerations there that they need to have a think about.
Mm-hmm.
And as we're sort of moving closer to the event, with them, I suppose they're having a good conversation with their intelligence officers there. That's not something people sort of think about that much, but there are protests that go on regularly.
Okay.
Not sometimes that to disrupt the event, they may be for a completely different matter.
An opportunity to raise their concerns.
Yep, absolutely.
How they go about it.
And
free right to do so, freedom of speech, but they've got to do it in a proper manner.
Exactly. So then if there is going to be a protest, we'll normally draw on the resources of a negotiator to go and talk to the people who are going to protest.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they're going to spell straight out to those guys is you know, like make your concerns heard. This is where it'll happen. These are the offences you could commit if you overstep the mark.
Sure.
You know.
There's the line. Don't step over the line.
So it's not about stopping the protest. It's about having a relationship
support
with the group.
Keeping everybody safe.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Then they move into preparing an operational plan.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on how big the event is or how small, they can go from an operational plan, which is quite detailed, or they just do a slight little one-page action plan if it's an event that's quite small. But with this Targa race, we've got a number of roads closed down over 3 days.
We're using Targa Race and the rally as an example.
That's
giving a big plug, big shout out.
Yeah.
Go Across the Nation, yep. Targa Rally.
Everyone will know where I'm going to be this weekend for
exactly.
Sure. So, they are looking at, where briefings will occur, what officers' duties are during the stages that are assisting.
Mm-hmm.
What the situation is, which is obviously the Targa Rally, but also what our mission is, which obviously usually our mission for something like this is just to make sure that the event is safe.
Yep, safe.
Minimal disruption to public.
Okay. Yep. And usually when a rally like so happens, after they pass the first 2-3 blocks, those they're open, because the roads are closed, they open the roads as it rolls sort of
yep.
thing, doesn't it?
Yep. Which is the uniqueness of this race is it's on public roads.
Mm.
The vehicles that are driving subjected to traffic offences.
Yeah.
So the roads are closed while the event's being run and it does. It rolls through. There's a police vehicle that heads at the front, sounds a siren, lets everyone know that the road's closed so spectators know not to be on the road.
Yep.
There's a whole heap of safety surrounding the event where people are making sure that the track is clear of any obstructions or any issues. And then the race obviously unfolds. So
and regarding permits, that's not the police's job. Permits are going to the council, is it not?
No, the permits are a police role.
Okay.
Because it's the legislation that's used to close the roads. So they will apply to the police with a special events permit.
Yes.
Okay. And that's going to have a whole heap of conditions on it. So that's maybe, who can enter restricted zones, how the Targa team themselves are going to communicate and how they're going to communicate with police.
Mm-hmm.
Any special signage that needs to be displayed. Who repairs the damage
yep.
caused by the race? So if a car crashes, who's liable for that damage?
Yeah, gotcha. Insurance we're talking as
yep.
well. Yeah.
Rubbish removal, when the event would be suspended or cancelled for any reasons. So that's what that special events permit sets out, all of those conditions so that the organisers do know that, look, these are the rules. Mm. If we're going to close the road down, these are the rules.
So which comes first, chicken or the egg, when we're talking about the permits? You just informed us that police get the permit. When does the council come in? Don't they have a say in?
So the council, the road closure permit is a separate permit to the special
okay.
event permit.
Yes,
and the
Thank
road
you.
Closure permit will basically that's detailing what roads are closed and what times they're going to be closed.
Mm.
Look, we're probably council's involvement with this is obviously going to be around the public side of the event where they cars roll into town and people are. Wanting to meet the drivers and witness, view the cars.
Get a photo shot of the vehicles.
Look, it's a great chance for Cairns to showcase the community. So
sure.
there's going to be a lot of, I imagine the council's heavily involved with the tourists.
So all that comes into the fray of safety.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got a communication with the driver, with the rally organisers, for you to come and get a photo, make sure
well,
the vehicle's not moving, other vehicles in the way.
A simple thing with this year's event that's changed a lot of things is COVID because, we've got our social distancing and, we can't just all roll into one big building and, have like a rock concert
crowd. High
five,
first party,
so.
Yeah. No, it doesn't work like that now. The world we live in, hey?
Yep.
It's all changed.
Exactly. Yep.
Exactly.
So, look, once the event's rolled out, obviously post the event, police are still involved with debriefing. We're still engaged with the stakeholders,
mm-hmm.
Recording and reporting of results. Like our bosses will want to know how the event
okay.
went
yep,
and
yep, yep.
if there were any arrests.
Sure. To prevent this later on down the track with other events.
Exactly right. And it helps with the next year's planning. Just looking at our learnings from this current event.
Okay.
How well the next one will be run. So.
So that's just the, behind the scenes of an event that's happening in a city or town near you. And this is what the police does and how they operate.
Exactly, yep.
In regard to
you can imagine, a grand final, let's say in Brisbane. We've got...
march in the streets and what have you.
Absolutely. We've got massive crowds we need to control. We've got public transport we need to take into consideration. Definitely our intelligence would be very busy trying to work out who's trying to disrupt the event.
Okay,
counter-terrorism, we would have to make consideration there because it's a large crowd and possibly a target.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of people that get involved with these events. So when you're sitting back on the Sunday in your lounge chair watching, your football match, Just be aware that the police are heavily involved in the background to make sure
crowd's all
safe.
Good, yes.
And
you're safe in your lounge chair at home.
Exactly, yeah, yeah, eating your chips and...
eating your chips and picking it out.
Sucking on your sarsaparilla.
Yeah, too deadly. All right, over to you, Jess. Jess Mutton Harvey, first year constable. So you said stem from Bundaberg, mm-hmm. you're saying. And so how long in the job? Well, first year, but how long in the job?
Only a couple of months.
Only a couple of months.
I think I'm going into... just finished my second month.
Second month?
Yeah, so I'm fresh.
Okay, so you did your training at Cadets Academy at the in Townsville?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, from there you got posted to Edmonton, far north Queensland.
Yeah, sure did. All right. First time in Cairns. First time.
Is that right?
Yeah, so...
Well, sister, you haven't lived.
No.
But this is your first time in Cairns.
Yeah, I know.
Where you been?
I hadn't been north of Rocky before QPS, so
Rocky,
I'm
that's
absolutely
way south.
Loving it up here, yeah.
Rocky's way south. Well, well, this is Cairns. You're working in paradise, you know that.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah.
So with that, when you appointed a position at a police station... And do you have a choice? Do you put your hands up or did they say you're going to Edmonton straight up?
So we got a list of, I think it was like 22 stations over Queensland.
And you to choose out of those 22?
Yeah, so our intake was Queensland-wide. So it used to just be Townsville was fun, like North Queensland.
Mm.
And they changed it for our intake. So we had stations all across Queensland, which was exciting. So some of our... people in our intake actually got sent back down to Brisbane.
Okay. When you say got sent back down, you got a list there, but you choose where you want to go.
Yeah, so you list it in preference, so 1 to 22, what your preferences are.
All right. Edmonton was up top for you?
So it was just, we just got Cairns as a list.
Okay.
So I think Cairns was my third option or something. My fiancé wanted it as number one.
Where's the first two then?
They were in Harvey Bay,
yep.
I think was number one. And then I think it was more towards Sunny Coast was number two.
So your fiance's in Harvey Bay and you're in Cairns?
No, he's up here with me.
I'm just teasing you.
He was in Brisbane with me and then we moved up to Townsville. He didn't like Brisbane very much.
Is he liking Cairns?
Yeah, he loves it.
Good.
He'd been up here before, so he's always wanted to test out living in North Queensland. All right,
and what's he do?
He's a mechanic.
What's his name?
Reese,
big shout out, Reese. Fix them cars in far north Queensland. Feel the heat. The heat is all on tropical sweat in there with the spanner.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, you love it right up until summer.
His workshop isn't air conditioned. It's only the office. I wouldn't like that very much.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Well, Jess, thank you for coming to the program. Good luck with it all.
Thank you.
And you'll be probably back in the hot seat again here with us here at Wichai Yarning.
For sure.
And Edmund, please, thank you very much. Glenn Delight, good yarn. Thank you very much. Looking behind the scenes, how an event happens in the city or town and what the police do in regarding that event, like I said, behind the scenes. So fantastic. But you won't be rostered on that day.
Not a chance, mate. No. Not a chance.
And because you're senior sergeant in charge, you choose whether or not you're working that day. And you're not working that day.
Not that day, no.
You're not on roster.
Fortunately not.
Yeah, Kingpin, there it is. All right, fans, it's great to be talking with you again. Nice to meet you, Jess.
Nice to meet you too.
We'll talk soon. All the best and big shout out to the Edmonton Police guys.
Thanks.
And girls. Too deadly. All right, beautiful yarn there with Edmonton Police. That deadly segment is Which Way Yarning. And once a week we have a yarn with the Edmonton Police. And that's proudly sponsored by Pekoni IGA, Edmonton Brinsmead. As I said, they give us a box of food here at Bummo Bipra Media. Healthy living, healthy lifestyle. Message we deliver to our young school-based traineeship and also to our deadly staff, you know. And instead of chewing on a hot dog and a Kit Kat and chew on a banana or have an orange. There it is. Healthy living, healthy lifestyle. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, 1-800-422-416. Yarn with the Bullion, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Macquarie, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Give me a call, let's have a yarn. Too deadly.
G'day folks, Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son.
asking your woman.
Jabana, that's Yossi Yindi here on your daily program, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416, the magical number. Give me a call, have your say. We're going to catch up with Tony Gibbs on the line. Tony, good morning.
Morning, Trevor. Everybody else out there in Radio Land.
Yeah, Radio Land. How are you travelling, brother? You good?
Yeah, I'm good. I was going to have a house inspection today. We've been real busy, but it's sort of been cancelled. Anyway, that's all right. The police were just on. I'd like to follow on because I got a text from the police, which is unusual, and it said, help, Queensland Police improve service by doing a short survey about your experiences.
They hit the it's talking to the right man there, aren't they?
Well, that's right, mate.
Did you respond, or how are you sitting with it?
Well, you know, I've been down the Green Patch quite a bit, and there's been a few experiences down there, and sometimes there's disturbances and people coming and going. And there was one really bad one during school holidays a couple of weeks ago, and like a big wagon train around there, people in a big circle. I think it was Saturday night in school holidays, and all the kids were getting around on scooters and trikes.
Were there campers down there at the same time? Caravan parks? Caravans?
Yeah, this is right in the middle. These two old fellas, really drunk, they pulled up in the middle of everybody. All the kids were getting around. It was a beautiful night. And they were swearing and abusing, and I mean loud. They were roaring like beasts in the night.
So were you down there watching all this, were you?
I was down there, and then people were coming up and complaining to me. They're not local, and the travellers don't really want to get involved with the police or anybody. They're on the road, and they're very fragile because they're travelling, you know?
Yes.
So I said, well, call the police, you know, and they said, oh, yeah, well, they called Gouldenvale Police, and it was an unmanned, and I said, oh, well, I'll call them, and I made a mistake and dialed 911. That was too much American people.
USA. Yeah.
But anyway, we got through to Triple O, and the police come out, and they took these two fellas out, and then, you know, all the kids come up and surrounded me, you know, and they were saying, oh, they're all their parents are frightened, you know, and they want to leave and all this stuff. And so I called the police, and then the kids all come up around. I sit up the top away from where they all camp, and the police are saying, oh, the police. And I said, yeah, they're coming. I said, but don't go down and tell them, because we want them making a noise when the police come, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, well, I am involved. So I did call them, and I told the police. And then all the kids crowded and said, yeah, they're down there. So the police went down and took them out. So peace was restored. And so, you know, I'm on the side of law and order, and the police do their job, and that's all we want sometimes. There was another thing. I called them another time. There was a big mattress blew off of a truck on the middle of the high bridge there, which, you know, in the middle of the road, that laid there for a couple
dangerous.
Of days. But they're only small things. When they ask about my experience and they want to know, all my previous experiences, the police have sort of basically ruined me and Donna's life. And I briefly want to talk about two or three things, because they ask me and they want to know. And so I'm going to say that When we had the art gallery up in Mount Molloy and it was attacked and four people were arrested, this is 1993, people don't recover from atrocities, you wear it all your life.
Mm. And mentally and scarred.
Mentally scarred.
Mostly
and,
spiritually.
And they were arrested and they were only charged with stealing the shovels. And I think you had a human rights fella on there last year and he said that some things are untested in law. This turned out to be the government response, where they said it was obviously racist and shocking, but it was untested in law.
Mm.
But that doesn't give you anything, and we had to evacuate, and we wouldn't have lived there anyway. But the fact was there was a gross miscarriage of justice there.
Yes.
And then we started working on the street like refugees, selling art out the back of the truck. And we were that good. They put us in the paper, and you might have seen that picture of selling art out of the truck. Well, the police come and stopped us working there. This is the second. So, you know, after still trying to work, we were stopped from working, selling art. And then the third really bad one was when the camp at Goldsborough was taken over, and the sergeant in Townie and Gouldenvale said, yeah, well, they cut the locks and moved in and threw all their stuff out. And this is a lot to get out in a couple of minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I deserve a box of fruits for this.
Thank you, Edmonton. Please drop it off for you.
I've just been collecting Burdekin plums. I'm gorging on them, and I've got them all in the freezer. It's that time of the year. They just finished.
Yes.
But anyway, and the camp in Goldsborough, They said the sergeant said she was going to get them removed, the people that took over the camp. But they sent two Aboriginal policemen, and they took the side of the fellows that took over the camp. And to me, that was really, really wrong, because they just protected the Aboriginal fella. Well, my wife is Aboriginal. It was her home. I've just always been sort of the rodeo driver. I'm a man, you know. And so that really, really, really messed us up. So Yeah, I said what I wanted to say, but when they phone up and ask me to do a survey for my experiences, I still know that police are needed sometimes, but the law as it has been applied to me and Donna has been totally devastating to our life.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah.
But look at the people misbehaving and doing wrong by there. You protest in there on a daily event, but you abide by the rules while you're protesting. And that's what we're getting across the yarn here, across the airways.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm down the green patch and I read out that human rights thing and it said the police have the right to move people obstructing it. Well, the obstruction at the green patch is the council gate. Mm. Now, the council have done that. This council is in a big mess, Cairns City Council, and the gate is the obstruction. But the police, I think, have to do what the council's bylaws say. But that goes against that human rights for people to camp on the land.
It's simple but messy, isn't it?
Eh?
It's simple but messy.
It's simple but messy because we heard in New South Wales there's a lot of people in overcrowded houses and they want to go down the river and camp, and that's a Murray way of life, you know. It's a lot of people assimilated, a lot of people want to live on the river or camp on the river, and that's been stopped. Mm. And there's a really bad human rights infringement there. I've had a couple of days off because I've been getting ready for house inspection and to do all the mowing and keep all the guttering clear from vegetation around there. But I've answered the police survey that the experiences in our life, somewhere along the line, we should have been compensated, which would have funded a place to house all the Adinji art somewhere near on the land, you know.
Mm. Well, even though it's a survey, it gave you an opportunity to have your say anyway, even if it's via text.
That's right, mate. They sent me the survey, and I don't know how many people get that, but they know I'm on the side of the law and order because I called them when there's really trouble down there.
Yep, of course.
Because I'm part of this community, and that was peace rule, and the kids were all happy after that, and the parents are all happy, and they know what I do, and I'm not frightened to do it. So I had to have that on because the message from the police wanted to know. Well, now they know. They might listen to the show.
There you go. Thank you. A marketing person for the show.
And the other thing, I think the pyramid race is going ahead this week.
It is, eh? No. Yep.
I think it is. And
I haven't heard anything different. So the Walsh's Pyramid is still going ahead. Annual race it is. And COVID-19 is not going to stop it by the sounds of things.
It seems like with the Green Patch and locally, it's everything for everybody else, but the local people are really being deprived of their right to go down that river, and the obstruction is the gate.
And you're fighting for that right, Tony, and always thank you for sharing with us and keeping us posted, brother.
Yep, thanks for taking the call, Trev.
All the best, Tony. Tony Gibbs there, and a regular caller here on your daily program, National Talk Black. He's based down there at Gordonvale, 20 minutes drive south, small township south of Cairns, and at the base of the Walsh's Pyramid. And he's down there fighting for the green patch, a beautiful area. And when you're driving through to Cairns, coming from Townsville way, Innisfail, as you get to Gordonvale, have a look at the green patch. It's a beautiful, beautiful creek swimming hole. So come down and check that out. Have your say. Yarnum Strong here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. And we go, what do we got? About 5 minutes left on the program. Squeezing the yarn, you might be too deadly.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning circle, BBM 98.7. And I need you, I remember the day.
Heading into town by the fire sign, up ahead 1 mile, mama naked child by the highway. Flash four-wheel drive, only wanna ride to the other side. Don't try and hide behind your window.
That's the Johnny Walker Shoes. They interrupt that deadly song. The Pigman Brothers. We've got Marshall online. Want to have a say, Marshall? Good morning, Marshall. Not there, Marshall, I cut out a song to hear what you got to say. Give me a call back, 1-800-422-416. That's the number you need to call. Got about, like I said, 4 minutes left on the program, four and a half. Otherwise, you can text us 045-714-0550, and that's 24/7. Have your say, give your opinion, and voice that way. Otherwise, our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. You can check it out as well in regarding all your keyboard warriors. And I'll see if Marshall calls back. There's got about 4 and a bit minutes left. And let's go to Balak Land. My Balak Band, here it is. Balak Konbok, that's Nabalik Band here on your daily program, National Talk Black. I want to thank you very much, you mob, for your company. Murray going to sign off here for the day. Back in the hot seat again tomorrow. That daily number, 1-800-422-416. And for you mob, do you tune in? Thank you for tuning in. And to big shout out to all our First Nation radio watchers across the country. And thank you very much. So look, take care. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. More importantly, stay safe. We're still in a pandemic. Abide by the rules and look after yourself. To daily mob.